Matthew chapter 3, I'd like to read the first 12 verses. Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Amen. Would you pray with us? We ask Brother Bill to lead us in prayer.
Father, we're glad for this privilege to be back in the house of God again. We're thankful for the people of God. We ask you, Lord, to let it hurt us this afternoon. May our hearts be fed with the word of God. Summon us to come and dine, Jesus. May our hearts be open to receive what you have for us. Lord Jesus, anoint Brother Curtis with the anointing from heaven this afternoon, I pray. God, may something be accomplished eternally in this service, and we'll give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I could have read one verse, but I never want to take anything out of context. And so I wanted to read the whole context of Scripture here, of John as he began to preach. I'd like for you to notice especially verse number 10 and also verse 11 and 12, but looking at verse 10 and 12 first, he said, "Now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Then in verse 12, "whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." He's certainly talking about hell fire, both of those verses. He's talking about the fire of God's wrath, the fire of his judgment. But in verse number 11, where I want to take my text this evening to preach, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Notice he didn't say "or with fire."
That's right.
He's already mentioned the "or with fire" in verse 10 and verse 12. But he joins them together. That's a conjunction. And he's using, I know, figurative language to describe this wonderful experience. The Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. That's what I want to talk to us about this evening. Holy Ghost, fire. Mr. Leonard Ravenhill said that all mankind is treading a pathway of fire. He said, "The believer is headed to judgment fire. The sinner is headed to hell fire. And because the church has lost Holy Ghost fire, men go to hell fire." Oh, we need this Holy Ghost fire. The scripture said, Hebrews 12 and 29, "For our God is a consuming fire." There is the danger of us being consumed by that fire. That's what John was warning of in verse number 10, verse number 12. the danger that we could be consumed with that fire, or by that fire, rather. I believe in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, the Bible said, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes. He's warning again of the danger of being consumed by the fire of his wrath. Yes. But in verse 11 in our text this evening, John preached about this wonderful experience that we can be consumed with this fire. We don't have to be consumed by the fire of his wrath, but we can be consumed with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I believe we have a striking, you know, illustration for us in that great story of Moses out there on the backside of that desert. And they tell me that, you know, in that hot burning desert, that it was a common thing to see a bush catch a blaze like that. But Moses saw something different that day about this bush. It's burning, but it's not being consumed. It's consumed with the fire, but it's not being consumed by the fire. And he said, "I'll turn aside and see this great sight." I tell you, the fire attracted his attention. Amen. The black preacher was asked the secret of his success, the reason the people came to hear him preach, and he said, "I just go to my prayer closet." And he said, "I pray till the Lord sets me on fire." And he said, "The people just come out to watch me burn." Amen. And Moses, he was attracted by the fire. It is still the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in the church that's going to attract a world, amen, that has many other attractions. I read in the history of the Church of God, the church I was a part of at one time, in that early history of that church, it was around 1907, a great revival broke out in Cleveland, Tennessee, the headquarters of that church. They put up a tent. Their general overseer, Brother A.J. Tomlinson, had received the wonderful experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it set his soul on fire. They started a tent revival. It went for weeks and weeks, and people come from every direction to that tent revival. People being saved and sanctified and Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized and healings taking place and miracles. Well, during the course of that revival, there was a circus tent that come through town. They put up their circus tent across from the revival tent. But it wasn't but just a day or two. People were so attracted to that revival that they had to pack up the tent, close down the circus, and move on out of town. Even because they were being attracted by the fire that was falling at the revival. Amen. Well, God gave Moses a striking illustration of what he wanted him to be. "I want to use you, Moses, in the way that he consumed that bush with that fire." He said, "I want to be, I want you to have that kind of experience. I want you to be consumed with the fire of the Holy Ghost." And as God spoke out of that bush, he wanted to set Moses ablaze and be an instrument that God could speak out of. God spoke to Moses, "Put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." In other words, whatever it is that's keeping you from making contact with the presence of this holy God, put it off. Amen. Whatever it might be in our lives that would keep us from making contact with the presence of the Lord, put it off. Amen. He said, "You're standing on holy ground." Brother Dennis Smith several years ago gave us a marvelous revelation in this meeting. He said, "If God could sanctify the ground that Moses stood on, don't you think he can sanctify you and I that are taken from the dust of the earth?" Amen. Sanctified the ground by his presence. Well, you know, the Bible said that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So I don't want to just get some private interpretation, get some, you know, strange idea on my own. So I begin to look at what some of the great commentators had to say about Matthew 3, verse 11. Adam Clark said the similitude of fire because he was to illuminate and invigorate the soul, penetrate every part and assimilate the whole to the image of the God of glory. John Wesley, he said, he shall fill you with the Holy Ghost, inflaming your hearts with that fire of love which many waters cannot quench. And this was done even with a visible appearance as of fire on the day of Pentecost. They saw the visible manifestation of the glory of God as there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Hallelujah. Then the great Matthew Henry, he said, they who are baptized with the Holy Ghost are baptized as with fire. The seven spirits of God appear as seven lamps of fire. Revelation 4, verse number 5. Is fire enlightening? So the spirit is a spirit of illumination. Is it warming? And do not their hearts burn within them? Is it consuming? And does not the spirit of judgment as a spirit of burning consume the dross of their corruptions? Does fire make all it seizes like itself? And does it move upwards? So does the spirit make the soul holy like itself, and its tendency is heavenward. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost and with fire. Holy Ghost fire is what I'm talking about this evening. Why would he say fire? Looked like it would have been enough just to say the Holy Ghost. But he joins that statement with that other great statement. And with fire. Why fire? Well, several aspects about the fire. The first aspect that I want to bring to our attention this evening is fire brings protection. They tell me that, you know, the old prairie farmers, you know, a little before my time, but they said they'd get a wildfire, you know, some of those wildfires break out. Said they'd do what they call backfiring. They'd start a fire around their own house. Amen. Backfiring. Well, you know, there when Elisha got in trouble and the king of Syria had come against him, and his servant looked up and he saw the Syrian army coming. And he said, what are we going to do, master? And he prayed for his servant, Lord, open his eyes. And when he looked out on the hillside, he saw horses and chariots of fire gathered around them. And he said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I tell you, fire brings protection. Amen. A man on fire burning with the Holy Ghost, he's not going to backslide. He's not going to lose out. You know, I've read those great books. They're not religious books. But Mr. Jack London, The Call of the Wild and White Fang, he tells about those men out in the Arctic region, you know, with their sled dogs and how those wolf packs would gather. And, you know, it was dangerous out there. And many times the only thing that would keep those wolf packs at bay was that fire. They would keep that campfire going. It brought protection. Well, Christ said, you know, we're living in a cold, cruel, critical, heartless world out there. It's very dangerous out there. That's why we need the fire. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse number 16, he said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I tell you, we need the fire. The Lord said in Zechariah 2 and 5, he said, for I saith the Lord, will be under her wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Amen. Fire brings protection. We need the fire. We need the fire. There's an old expression. It said, flies do not settle on a hot tea kettle. Flies do not settle on a hot tea kettle. They don't, do they? Amen. Well, you know, if I'm on fire, You know, Beelzebub, that's one of the titles of Satan, the god of the flies, the god of the dunghill. Amen. He's not going to settle on our lives. Amen. If we're fervent in spirit, burning full of the Holy Ghost, a man on fire's not going to lose out with God. He's not going to backslide. He's not going to depart from the faith. Fire brings protection. Well, another aspect about the fire. Why did he say the Holy Ghost and with fire? Amen. Why do we need the fire? Well, the fire searches. I remember before I got saved, it was brought to my remembrance this morning. I hadn't thought about it in a long time, but I remember that preacher got up that Sunday morning and he looked out over that audience. He said, "I want everybody in this service to find them a place to pray." That man of God looked out over that congregation. There was a fear. It gripped my heart. I wasn't praying to get saved, but I was hunting me a place to pray. I was falling on my knees. Even because it seemed like there was something searching there. I mean, the light had been turned on. Amen. I felt like he could see me. Amen. There was eyes looking down in my life and the searchlight was being turned on. Amen. That's what the fire does. It searches. Jesus told about that little woman, amen, in the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, that she had 10 coins, but she lost one of them. What did she do? She lit a candle, and she began to seek diligently for that lost coin. Amen, she turned the searchlight on. She's looking. She's searching. Amen, search me, oh God. That's why I need the fire. That's why we need the fire of God in the service. Amen, in the church, burning in the pulpit and in the pew, because it'll search us.
Yes, it will. Right.
Amen. I tell you, if there's anything in my life, search me, oh God.
Yes, amen.
Sometimes I get irritable and ill. Search me, oh God.
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes I get out of sorts. Search me, oh God.
Yeah.
Amen. See if there be any wicked way. That's what the psalmist prayed. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I want him to search me. You know, there John the Revelator saw him with eyes like a flame of fire. What is he seeing? He's seeing one that's able to look into the depths of the hearts of mankind. Amen. Hebrews 4 and 13, the Bible said, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are open and naked under the eyes of him with whom we have to do." He can search us. That's why we need the fire, because it searches. The scripture said in Proverbs 20 and 27 that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Search me, Lord. I mean, when he lit my candle, I was dead spiritually. I was just like that little piece of wax or that little wick. I mean, it's just, you know, dead and dormant. But you let the power go out, lose electricity. All of a sudden, we're looking for those candles. Amen, we're needing some light. Well, my spirit was cold and dark, but God lit my candle. The ladder of candles came along, and all of a sudden, I see things different than I used to. That's what happened to Isaiah. He saw himself when he saw the glory of the Lord. Amen. In the light of that blazing glory, he saw himself. Amen. Fire. Why fire? Well, I don't want to wear your patience here this evening, but I want to preach to you just a little while. Fire purifies. Amen. Fire purifies. That's why we need the fire. Amen. I mean, those things in our life, you know. We're in a world, but we don't have to be of the world. But just living in this world, we have to endeavor to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And we need that purifying fire to work in our lives from time to time. He said there in Isaiah 4 and verse number 4, he said, "When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof." And how's he going to do it?
He said, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Amen. He'll wash and he'll purge and he'll purify. He'll cleanse it away by the spirit of burning. And again, the great prophet Isaiah, he's thundering out, woe to this one. I mean, those first five chapters of the book of Isaiah, I don't know how many times, but several different times, that great prophet said, woe to the evildoer, and woe to this one, woe to that one. But all of a sudden, he sees him who is high and lifted up. And he said, woe, yes, me, for I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He saw him in his blazing glory. He saw him in his holiness. He saw him in his power. And he saw himself. But I love this. The Bible said, then flew unto him one of the seraphims, one of those angelic creatures, flew down to where he was, having a live coal. It wasn't a little piece of charcoal, even off of last year's barbecue, but a live coal, a red hot coal. I'm talking about a fire too hot for the angel to handle, but he had to take tongs, and he flew down to where Isaiah was, and he said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. A sanctifying fire, a purifying fire off of heaven's altar. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, put the blinders on me as that preacher was talking about it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to be a help to you. Glory to God. Amen. I wouldn't be able to see that 4 foot clock. Amen. Glory to God. Fire purifies. Amen. That's why we need the fire. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth said, God spoke to him, Wigglesworth, I'm going to burn you up until there is no more Wigglesworth left. And then only Jesus will be seen. Holy to God. You know, I must be honest with you. You know, I get a little ill and out of sorts. I did just the other day coming up here. I'll be honest with you. I mean, not at anybody in particular, but just, you know, just things that we experience in life, you know. And I need that purifying fire. I need that Holy Ghost fire. Keep me pure. Keep me clean. Keep me sanctified. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm talking about Holy Ghost fire. Why do we need the fire? Well, fire melts. Thank God. I was praying here just the other day. I'll tell you, we're living in a gospel-hardened generation. Preaching like we heard this morning, heard in this meeting, it ought to stir somebody to want to pray. Amen. I was preaching in a meeting just here recently, you know, and, you know, it ought to stir people. The Holy Ghost comes down and but God reminded me, Brother Bill, I mean, the only thing that early church had against that religious organization, I mean, against the religious movement of their day, against the mighty Roman Empire, their only weapon was a cloven tongue of fire. Oh, but it made them invincible. There's something about that tongue of fire that melted the hard-hearted hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Even the scripture records in Acts 6 and 10 that man Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, on fire for God, the Bible said they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. What did he have? He had a tongue of fire. I said he had a tongue of fire. The Lord reminded me here recently, listen, young preachers, even got some young preachers coming on here, can I encourage you, that's still the weapon that we have to combat the forces of hell, even to preach to this gospel hardened generation. It's a tongue of fire. Praise God. I mean, Rahab the harlot, she told those two spies, said our hearts didn't melt when we heard of the mighty acts that God performed on your behalf. It'll still melt the hearts of men. God reminded me of that again. That's still the answer. That won't do it. Amen. It can't be done. But that will do it. Still an answer of fire for a world that's cold and hardened by sin. Job said, God maketh my heart soft. Amen. Fire melts. Fire spreads. Amen. I'm trying to hurry. Just a few more little points, as a brother said. Amen. A few more little points here tonight, or this evening, or this morning, or whatever it is, whatever time of day. I mean, it may be midnight for some of you. I don't know. I'm trying to preach. Amen. Fire spreads. It was first 120 believers that were set ablaze, burning with the Holy Ghost. But before that day of Pentecost came to a conclusion, there were 3,000 men. Their hearts had caught ablaze, burning with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was first a Stephen with a tongue of fire. But then it was later a Saul who became the great Apostle Paul. Hold over half of the New Testament. Yes, amen. Fire spreads. I mean, it was first Elijah, that prophet of fire, that cast his mantle over on Elisha. But then after he was taken up, them sons of the prophet looked over there at him. They said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. I mean, he's caught ablaze. He's burning just like the old man was. Look at him, that young boy. Amen. He's on fire preaching just like the old prophet used to preach. Look at him shouting and dancing and rejoicing in the Lord just like the old prophet did. How about Holy Ghost fire? Amen. Praise God. Well, we're getting along real good. Just hold on to your seat. Amen. John Bunyan, his great Pilgrim's Progress, he tells many wonderful things in that book, but one thing that has always stood out to me, he said he took him, you know, in the house of the interpreter took him and showed him a fire that burned. And he said that fire was burning, but there's one standing with buckets of water trying to put out that fire. But he said, instead of that fire going out, it would blaze up higher and hotter. An interpreter took Christian around behind the wall. And he showed him there was one standing pouring oil through a golden pipe. He's pouring oil on that fire. And Sister Judy, he said, this is the interpretation. He said, that fire that burns, he said, that's the work of grace that's been started in the believer's heart. He said, the one that stands with his buckets of water, that's the devil trying to put it out. Yeah. Amen. Right. Oh, God, I don't want him to put mine out, do you? Oh, right. Amen. I said, I don't want him to put mine out, do you? Amen. Amen. But he said, that one that stands behind the wall, pouring on the oil, he said, that is Christ pouring on the oil of his grace. Hallelujah. Oh, and the songwriter said, the flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. It don't have to. Amen. Fire, it illuminates, it gives light. I mean, the Lord led the children of Israel a pillar of a cloud by day. I mean, it's hot out there in that desert, that blazing, burning sun. But they got a cloud overhead. Keep everything cool. Keep the temperature regulated to perfection. When the cloud moves, they move. When the cloud stops, it's time to stop. But if we need to move at night, it's a pillar of a fire by night. I mean, it gets cold at night, you know. The temperature cools way down, but he's got a fire at night. Amen. Don't keep them, you know, warm at night. But he leads them the way to go by day and by night. They've got light. Amen. Because they got a pillar of a cloud by day and a fire by night. Well, he didn't leave us just to stumble along in this dark, amen, world of despair. But he's left us his spirit. And he said he would guide you, John 16 and 13, into all truth. He's not going to lead me, Brother Kyle, down the road of departure from the faith. He's not going to lead me down the road of backsliding and compromise. But if I follow that fire, it'll give me light to go by day and by night. Hallelujah. Oh, the great John the Baptist. Here we read these great words that he spoke about this one that would come to baptize with the Holy Ghost fire. Jesus said of him, I mean, paid him one of the highest compliments a man could be paid. John 5 and 35, he said he was a burning and a shining light. Amen. Listen, I'm talking to the Martinsville Church of Truth. Don't it bless you? Amen. See Sister Judy get up here. Amen. And shout and rejoice. Don't it bless you? I mean, just to hear Sister Judy say, Jesus. It's just something about the way she says it, Brother Bill. Just blesses me. Amen. Oh, I want to let my light shine. Don't you? One writer said, we burn before God that we might shine before men. Glory to God. One fellow was preaching in a certain place, you know, and he said, well, they ride by and they see the lights on at the church. Said, they know we're here. I mean, he thought that was the extent of letting your light shine. Oh, God, we need the fire to give light. Amen. To give light. I mean, let your light so shine before all men. Amen. If it's not burning, it's not going to shine. But if it's burning, it will shine. It will shine. Glory to God. Amen. There's a little sister out in, she was out in Oklahoma at this time. She had an accident a few years back. Sister Crystal Boyd. She's married here the last year or so. She married a Burnett up in Kentucky. Or Burnett, however you want to say that. But she was in an accident a few years back at her and her brother. She was trapped in this automobile for some time. One of those rescue squad workers, he came. You know, and they had to maybe use the jaws of life to get her out. And he come back from that scene of the accident, tears running down his face. And he said, she's over there talking in that language. Can't nobody understand. Glory to God. What are you talking about? Fire comforts. We need a comforter. Amen. I tell you, it's too cold to walk alone. I don't want to live in this cold, heartless, critical world without the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus called him the comforter. Amen. That's one sent alongside to help. Amen. As a friend. It's too cold. Ecclesiastes 4 and 11. He said, if two lie together, then they shall have heat. But how can one be warmed alone? Amen. How can one be warmed alone? It's too cold to walk alone. We need a comforter. That's why we need the fire of God burning in our souls. Amen. I'm winding down here, even to a conclusion this evening. But I tell you, fire generates power. Amen. Fire. They don't use them. You work on the railroad, so you know a lot about it. They used to use them old steam engines. That right, Brother Powers? Shovel that coal in there. I mean, get it moving on down the tracks. Way back 100 years ago. I mean, it. Speeds of 30, 35 miles an hour, I guess, didn't they? 80? That fast? Wow. I didn't realize that. 80 miles an hour. 100 years ago. I mean, this is a railroad man we're talking about over here. Generates power. That's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm not a mechanic, but, you know, you go out there and cut it, turn that key, and nothing happens. You know, a mechanic checks it out, says, well, we're not getting any ignition. Another word for that, fire. Not firing. I mean, without the fire, without it fires, I mean, to get that motor, turn it over on the inside, then you can put her in gear and move on down the road. Why's the church? My God, I'm feeling like preaching. About time to quit. I'm feeling like preaching a little while. Amen. Why's the church been at a standstill, spinning her wheels, going nowhere? Amen. Lost the fire. My God, give us a fire. Set us on fire. Set me on fire, Lord. Burning with the Holy Ghost. I mean, there Jesus said John was a burning and a shining. That word burning meant consume, to set on fire. He was consumed, not by the fire, but he was consumed with this Holy Ghost fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Generates power. Generates power. I mean, when Isaiah was touched with the fire off of heaven's altar, amen, it put him in motion. Here am I, send me. Listen, God stirs our emotions many times to put us in motion. I mean, he don't just do it just to make us feel good. So we can shout and run, jump, then forget all about it and go into the house and do our own thing. No, he stirs our emotion. He encourages us. I mean, you talk about a man so overwhelmed with, you know, disappointments and discouragements, and a man cast into the dungeon time and time again. Oh, Brother Jeremiah. But there was something about that fire. He said, I think I'm just going to quit preaching. Don't nobody want to hear me preach anyway. Might as well close my Bible and forget about this preaching business. But then I said, I will not make mention of him anymore. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. What was it? He was touched by the fire of God one more time. And it put him back in action. Hallelujah. And I'm closing with this evening. Praise God. Amen. Fire. Amen. Listen, God is not coming back for a broke down, cold, mechanical, dead, dormant, uninterested, religious machine. He's not coming back for some religious debating society. He's coming back for a church on fire. He's coming back for a glorious church. A glorious church. I tell you, the fire in our lives, it brings glory to our God. Amen. The Bible records in Exodus 24 and 17. As you stand with me, I'm closing with these thoughts. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of all the children of Israel. They saw the fire of God's glory when our lives catch ablaze. Oh, God gets glory. God gets glory. Oh, my. He gets glory. Have lives that are on fire. Men and women, boys and girls, on fire. May the Lord bless you. Amen. We're going to turn the service. Amen. All right. Maybe you're here, you don't have the Holy Ghost, you'd like to seek the Lord. I know it's, you know, it's in the afternoon. I understand. I eat this big meal, different things, but amen. Are you hungry for a blessing from the Lord? Why don't you come?
Amen.
Let God set you on fire. Are you hungry for a closer walk with God?
Yes,
amen. Closer walk with God. Want to be on fire, burning with the Holy Ghost. Burning with the Holy Ghost. Well, I've just preached what I felt like God laid on my heart. Would you let's come? Everyone, find us a place to pray.